Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Thursday, January 23rd, 2014 is today, and it's great to be here, and I know Al is happy to be here.
No, I'm not there.
You're not
I'm
happy?
Well,
you're never
happy.
You're never happy. Are you happy?
Yeah, well, I am. I'm absolutely amused, right? I'm not necessarily happy, but I'm absolutely
amused. But always amused. Well, I'm happy to be here and amused, but we should be happy today. It was very nice to see gold up today, up $26 today at $12.64. You have silver up 23 cents today at $20.12, and gold was up a little over 2%, with silver up a little over 1%. Platinum and palladium didn't fare as well. You had platinum down 3 at $1,461, and palladium was down 2 at $748. Interesting day in the market, folks. You had the dollar taking a little bit of a tank today. It's entry 0.74 in the USDX today at 80.45. Crude oil was up another 47 cents today at 97.20. And the paper markets today got a, you know, they should still be down more than what they were. But why do I keep missing the, you had the Dow, it slid about 175 points today at 16,197. You know, they'll blame it on corporate earnings concerns of corporate
earnings. I think it's
Davos. You think it's Davos?
Yes, I think there's a problem with Goldie Hawn at Davos. And I don't think their meditation ceremonies are working out properly, and I think that's the reason, Melody.
You might think they're over there having a heyday over there, but you know, a lot of these people, you know, they run some very powerful companies in which they do plan their annual basis on. And I'll tell you what, I listened to an interview by the guy from Coca-Cola, and it was just downright creepy, because they're talking about the youth and how they want to that they want to like have this youth movement I mean, it was creepy, and we'll be talking about that a little bit after the
first
segment.
Are they going after the Pepsi? Is the Coca-Cola generation going after the Pepsi generation?
We're talking about jobs for these youth, and you know, along with technology and how they can train them, and how they don't think how they want to put everybody working from their homes, and they don't think that they should
cells. Also working from their cells. We could do that too, probably, before we're done.
No, I mean, it was a very creepy interview, Al, and it just reminded me a lot of how the youth was recruited in previous years. So it was a very creepy interview, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But again, the stock market, the S&P was down 16 at 1,828, and the 10-year yield was down 0.09 at 2.77%. So they definitely need to have a lower interest rate because, you know, hey, people stop buying. They don't buy those houses. They don't buy those cars. They, you know, they want those lower rates. So when that starts creeping up along with inflation, look out, folks. And what an interesting next couple of years we're going to have, Al.
Oh, it'll be interesting. It's not just the interesting next couple of years. It'll be the interesting tomorrow.
It has been.
Every day just gets, you know, it's overwhelming at times. But, for example, there are people who believe, and they the techies that work the market, they believe that a resistance point for gold is about 1255. That's some people's opinion. And insofar as we have broken through that resistance level, are we permanently through it, Melody, or will the powers that be come back and hammer gold down tomorrow?
You know, it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, and I think it's we're definitely seeing a move up in gold and a drop in the stock market based on this. You know, it depends if they can mellow things out. They might bring it down a little bit, but I think we've seen a bottom at, you know, where we were. And whether it'll pull back a little bit tomorrow or the next couple of days. That's why people really shouldn't be concerned about the everyday trading of the prices. Sure, it's great to buy low, and that's when you should be buying, but it's too difficult to time it, and it gets away from folks very quickly.
So, we'll talk about that when we get into the second segment of the program and compare the potential for gold to the potential for stocks, for example. And we'll get into that in the second part of the program. Right now, though, we should probably get to Ms. Wilson. Ms. Wilson, are you here?
Yes, Al, I am here. Hello, Melody. How you doing?
Just fine, Wendy.
Ms. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. And, Wendy, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about pet food. You know those little furry friends we have, those extensions of our family unit? Well, we got to take care of them, look after their health too, you know. And pet food isn't always what it seems to be. I don't know. Do you have pets, Al?
Not of my own.
Okay.
I don't have any of my own right now. To me, it's more responsibility than I want. I like dogs, but I'm not somebody to be taking care of a dog exactly. You know, they're nice to have around, but
he's adopted Ruby. Ruby has become his pen pal.
His
long distance pet.
Ruby, of course, for those of you who don't understand, is Melody's new dog, and I am the dog's godfather.
Awesome.
Melody has said that if anything happens to her, I have to take the dog, and I've threatened to quit over that, but she says, nope, that's the deal. You got to take that dog. So, well, I'm the dog's godfather.
Okay. Right? Well,
so, in any case, what's in the dog food?
Well, actually, you know, dog food or pet food actually started with the invention in the 19th century by James Spratt in 1860. He invented a product called Spratt's Dog Cakes. And what he did is he marketed those to the as treats at the pet shows. And this was actually the first proverbial dog biscuit, if you will. So it was like a prototype to Milk Bones, and it was a big success. And then after that, dog food products followed. And so how does an industry get off the ground convincing pet owners in the early 1900s, if you will, to switch from table scraps, you know, where they feed their pet, to a pet product? So what they did is they got the vets on board, because actually vets are just MDs for pets. and they're not really experts in nutrition, and there's really no money, Al, in healthy pets. Am I right?
Yeah, it's like doctors. There's no money in healthy people and the rest of that sort of thing. So
that's exactly it. So what better way to guarantee you that steady stream of pet patients than to endorse the pet foods that are full of artificial ingredients, grain fillers, and synthetic vitamins? So later on, pet food became tailored, as you know, to the puppy chow, the adult formulas, the senior pets, and even the premium varieties of foods now for pets with allergies. So what the problem with the pet food, Al and Melody, is there's grains, too many grains, especially corn, in a lot of the pet food. And pets aren't, their digestive systems aren't meant to deal with grains, or should I say processed grains. So corn is in a lot of pet food basically because it is a cheap filler. So it is a grain that's got a high glycemic index rating. So if you looked at corn, the glycemic index rating would be like a 69, whereas meat in itself has a zero glycemic rating.
And glycemic, of course, is a measure of how much sugar.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So now if you compared the corn grains to some other options, like brown rice, for instance, you get a 55, rating of 55. Now, your simple corn is a 53, unprocessed. Oatmeal's 49, and wheat grain's 41, and, of course, barley's 25. So, so actually, your corn ingredients and pet foods don't offer a low glycemic index at all.
What does this do to the dog?
Well, it creates a lot of allergies and digestive problems. Actually, they've done some studies on allergies with pets and the grains to see what's going on, and they got some results like anywhere from 3 to a 14% allergy rating, but the reliability of that research is often not taken seriously because it's kind of difficult to prove the accuracy of food allergies in pets. So what pet owners are noticing, even breeders, they know when their pets aren't doing well, when it's the food they're eating. I'm sure Melanie's starting to see if her dog's doing okay on pet food, and if she switched it, she would notice probably a difference if it showed up. So what people tend to skip over, though, Al and Melody, is, you know, what is the quality of the grain in the pet food? Is it genetically modified? And 88% of all the corn now is GM.
Yeah.
So we got a problem with the pet food industry. And it's hard for them to digest these grains. Now, if you had uncooked, unprocessed, unmilled grains, the pets do much better. But unfortunately, that's not the case in the pet food. It's all processed. And it's really, they cook it to kill bacteria that's on it, because a majority of the pet grains that they get are actually waste products from milleries. So they're getting a lot of bacteria and other stuff in that with the grain, so
they're
have to
feeding them garbage is what it comes down to. They've figured how to take some of the waste products from some from processing plants, and they've figured, well, why don't we feed it to the dogs?
That's exactly so people need to ask themselves, you know, is my pet thriving or merely surviving on pet food? And there seems to be more and more evidence that is showing up that, you know, pets are now coming up with the same kind of diseases Americans have. Humans, you know, there's the obesity, there's the allergies, there's the infections, digestive problems, diabetes, cataracts, cancer, tumors, skin problems. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's plaguing the pets now, which we never used to hear about before.
You know, cattle are not really designed to be consuming grain.
Yeah, cow chow.
We feed the cattle corn and whatever else, and it puts a lot of fat on them, and it, you know, bulks them up some for market and so on, but they're designed to eat grass.
Yeah,
and there are allegedly a lot of people who get into it. They say that the cattle are healthier. They provide a better, you know, a better steak and whatever.
Right.
When we meddle with cows, now you stop and think, a cow, all right, it eats grass. It doesn't seem like such a stretch that you could also feed some corn to a cow. But feeding corn to a dog which is essentially a carnivore, where the cow is an herbivore. It basically is, given that it eats grass, it's not such a stretch that it might eat some corn. It's not ideal, but it's not. But a dog. I mean, this is like feeding. This is like feeding your dog on French pastry or something like that. It just it's not a natural thing. You may think you're doing a good thing for the cow. Here, Rover, come over here and have another French pastry.
Well, absolutely. If you see ground beef that's grass fed from a cow that's grass fed and one that's grain fed, they have a totally different appearance. They have a different color, a different texture, a different flavor. If you have meat from a grass-fed cow, it's creamier, actually. It's not. It's just different. Anyway, you are totally right, but I think pet owners would be just shocked to know what's in their standardized pet food, okay? So basically, if they discovered what was in there, they would find substandard ingredients, which are actually waste products from industrial complexes, because they found another way to make billions of dollars by selling this stuff to the pet food companies. So what's in there? You would be surprised. It could be carcasses from dead pets or farm animals that died from disease or zoo animals, roadkill even, and restaurant grease has shown up in your standard pet foods. So cooking also, they have to cook the stuff, heat it, to kill the bacteria, but that really destroys any nutrition, as you know. So I think pet owners are having to, you know, take charge of their pets, and they're just making their own pet foods, and they're carnivores. So pet dogs and cats are supposed to eat meat.
Yeah, I understand. That's what they're designed for. And you feed them the rest of this. What they've learned, and I remember hearing this 10 years ago anyway, maybe longer than that, they create that dog food.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it appeals to the dog, but because it appeals to the guy who's opening up the can. It comes out kind of like a stew that you might use for human beings or something like that. And he says, hey, you look at the dog and say, hey, this is good. And the dog is saying, oh, my God, none of that stuff again. But if it's all they eat, the dog will eat anything, you understand.
Right.
One of the points about this is you can feed cattle corn. But how long do the cattle live?
Yeah, see.
Cattle have a relatively short life expectancy, especially if they're being raised for beef. If they're milk, that's another thing. They can last for they last a longer period of time as long as they're producing milk. But beef cattle, the point being that you can feed them some terrible stuff, and they're only going to live a couple of years anyway before they're sent off to market.
Right, so they'll be killed before anything that you're doing kills them.
Yeah, before it shows up in a meaningful sense. But you take a dog and you're talking about another story. You're talking about a dog that's going to live 10, 15 years.
Absolutely. And, you know, animals by nature don't eat a balanced diet. That's another argument you hear. You know, all this meat's not good for your pet. It's not a balanced diet. Well, in nature, that's not what they do. They get a balance over time. Mm-hmm. That's what pets do. So, you know, and our human food pyramid isn't helping us out too much lately. You know, if you look at the statistics on how Americans are faring health-wise. So a lot of people, pet owners, are, you know, getting organic meats. They're using boiled eggs, some olive oil, and some greens. And they'll make their own pet food, and the dogs are healthier. They don't have the skin problems. They don't have the tumors. They're out of the vet. They're not going to the vet. So a big product that's out there is that Dynavite product that a lot of people, it's a supplement scoop powdered mix you throw on the pet food. But unfortunately, if you look at that product, it does have grain in it. It has a sorghum, which is a cereal used for animal feed, and it's nearly equal to corn, so it's high in the sugar content. It also has some clay in it, which is supposed to be for a detoxer, but it's also in kibble food. They put it in kibble food. But this can add to digestive problems and diarrhea and things, so people need to investigate what they're using.
The world is so strange. If you're buying anything in a can, you're buying anything out of a store, I don't know, can you be sure? The FDA certainly isn't protecting us. I can't imagine that they're protecting the dogs and cats exactly.
That's right. So you know what we did? We came out with an organic plant-based product called Power Greens for Pets, and you just need a little bit, like less than a tablespoon or teaspoon on the food, and you'll be amazed what some real nutrients like that, all organic, will do for pets, and you don't have to worry about the balanced diet thing.
Where can people call to find out how to purchase some of this
and
product,
Wendy,
for their pets?
Yes, and Wendy, I need some of that because I've been having problems with Ruby.
I've been trying to call and talk to you about that, so yeah, I'll send you some. Yeah, Power Greens for Pets, very reasonably priced. You'll spend $2.08 if you use Dynavite, and you'll spend 54 cents on the Power Greens products, so it's great. You can call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or you can go to the website, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We'll talk to you next Thursday. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue with our silver special, the $1,600 silver special, 40 silver eagles and $40 face value of 90% silver. Only we're going to be using lower prices. We haven't adjusted for any of the price increases of silver, so you really are getting a special. But they need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I do want to talk about grams and pounds, but I have to leave for just a second now. Something came up, and I have to leave for just a second. So it'll be just 2 seconds.
Okay, 2 seconds. So while we are waiting, Melody says 2 seconds, but I'm not sure if 2 seconds is, I think she may be exaggerating a little bit. So where I'm going to go before we get to the grams and pounds and so on, let's talk a little about the difference between gold versus stocks. And let's talk about it from the perspective of the fundamental investment strategy is you buy low and you sell high. That's how you profit from your investments. That's fundamentally it. You buy low and you sell high. There's other variations. There's other sophisticated things you can do. But the fundamental business is you buy something for $100 and you sell it for $200. And in order to do that, ideally you buy low and you sell high. There's no point in buying something at a particular price, buying it at $200 and selling it at $100. You don't want to buy high and sell low, not if you're interested in making a profit. So the point I'm trying to reach is that if we think in terms of gold, is gold at a high or at a low? We've had a difficult 2 years for gold, but we've pretty much seen a bottom. Now, that's not guaranteed, but pretty solid that we've seen gold has gone as about as low as it's going likely to go in the foreseeable future. There's people who argue otherwise, but gold is almost certainly at a low point. Right? I don't think anyone would argue against that, which means if you are an investor who's looking to make a profit and you believe you buy low and you sell high, gold should attract your interest. You say, well, listen, this is at a low. Now, that's not enough reason to buy something. All right, just because it's low doesn't mean you want to buy it because it may never go high. Right? It may just stay the same price for the next 5 years. There's not much advantage to that. You want something that it both you can buy low and sell high. Gold is at a low right now. Right? From that perspective, there's two portions to the buy low, sell high theory, strategy. Gold conforms to the buy low. It's at a low. What are the chances that gold is going to go higher? And I think anyone who looks at gold and the economy and whatever is going on has to admit that gold is going to go much higher. We've seen estimates from people, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000. Jim Sinclair, he says gold is going to $50,000 an ounce, although he doesn't put a date on it. It might be 5 or 10 years before that happens. I don't know what time frame he has in mind, but nevertheless, virtually everyone in this audience understands that gold can certainly go from $1,250 to $2,500. That's a 100% increase. It doubles in price. That's not a stretch. It could go, it could increase by 100%, 200%, 400%. These are not outrageous possibilities or projections. I won't say they're going to happen, but certainly 100%. Who doubts that gold that's $1,260 today won't be $2,500 within 2 years? Is there serious doubt about that? Which means that gold will basically increase by a factor of 100% over the course of the next two years, and it might be less than that. But I think it's a conservative idea. I don't think too many people would say, oh, that's crazy, that's crazy talk. No, we're talking about 100% possibility, or excuse me, a possibility that gold price could double. It could increase by 100% over the course of the next 2 years, and that's a fabulous return on investments. That's 50% per year. That's really extraordinary. Now let's take the stock market. And point I'm making with relative to gold, it is at a low. It's almost certainly going higher. Strong probability that gold meets that buy low, sell high formula. Take a look at stocks. Are stocks at a low right now? Or are they at or near record highs? insofar as the Dow is at or near record high, it's off a couple hundred points from its highest, but regardless, insofar as it's very close to a record high, what's the probability that the Dow is going to continue to go higher? Gold's at a low. The Dow is at a high. If we're going to buy low and sell high, does that indicate we want to buy gold or do we want to buy the stocks? If we're investing in proportion to the Dow Jones average, if the Dow is at 1600 or 16,000, right now, what's the probability that the Dow is going to hit 32,000 within the next 2 years? That's what it would do to increase by 100%. To double, it would have to go up to 32,000 in the next 2 years. Who believes that's possible? Virtually anyone you ask would say, certainly gold can double in the next 2 years. But who thinks the Dow Jones average is going to double in the next 2 years? I don't think anybody thinks that. I'm not convinced. A lot of people in this audience can't expect to see the Dow double in the balance of their natural lives. But gold could double in the next 2 years and maybe sooner than that. So the point I'm trying to illustrate is if you stop to think, buy low, sell high, stocks are not at a low. Some of them are close to a high. All right, that kind of eliminates the buy low element for stocks and the probability that they will ever go as high as gold could. Relatively small. All right? So where do you want to go? If you're going to buy low and sell high, it's just another way of looking at your investment opportunities in gold in a way of just saying, look, this is the best opportunity. There's not a guarantee. Nobody can guarantee this because we can't see into the future. We don't know for an absolute fact what's going to happen, but think about it in your own mind. Will the stock market double over the course of the next 2 years or even over the course of the next 10? Will gold double over the course of the next 2 years? Which one is most probable? That's the one that you want to invest in. You came back, Melody, and you've got something to say you wanted to add, get into grams and...
Yeah, I just wanted to make that it was brought to my attention that, there's a lot of product, not a lot, but some product out there that is being sold by the grams. And when I figured it out, what the price was being charged compared to what an ounce of bullion gold would be, I mean, they're charging almost $2,300 if you converted those grams into a 1 troy ounce. That's an incredible amount of money for bullion. It's not even a bullion coin. It's just bullion. It surprises me. And folks, you want to stay with things that are recognizable and acceptable. You want to stick with quality coins. You don't want to start going into some of these odd coins or coins that were minted, these silver rounds that are minted for novelties, and you end up paying $40 an ounce for it. You don't want to be paying, these outrageous premiums for bullion when you can buy a nice coin for $2,300. I'd be buying Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens all day long before I bought a gram of gold being converted to a troy ounce of gold for $2,300. So, and you want quality, you want scratch products. You don't want somebody's, face on a silver round and get charged $40 for it. We talked about this yesterday, and I just wanted to again bring to your attention that this is very important how you buy your gold. You will sell your gold one day, and you will sell your silver one day. And you want to make sure that you will not have a problem and that you get the best price for it when you do sell it. You want to own something that you know the next guy who's going to come along and want to buy something, they'll want it. So
not only
that
they want it, but they need to be able to identify what it
exactly
is that they're going to buy.
That they're going to buy.
If you get a silver round that's been privately minted, and it has some peculiar... It's got a picture of Thomas Jefferson on it, for example. And on the backside, who knows what's on the backside. But it's an interesting piece of silver, but are you absolutely certain it is silver? On the other hand, you can look at a silver eagle and you recognize it, and although there's always a possibility of counterfeiting, the truth of the matter is you see that silver eagle and it looks like it's all right, this was issued by, this is really 1 ounce of silver. I can tell by the edges and the fluted edges and the images. I get it. This is 1 ounce of silver. And when the time comes that you want to sell that 1 ounce of silver, other people are going to be able to look at it and recognize it. And they'll say, yeah, that's silver. Okay, I'll give you X number of dollars for it. But if you produce one of those silver rounds that's got a picture of Jefferson on one side and maybe a tractor on the other side, or who knows what. I mean, they make some of them, they've got Donald Duck on them or cartoon characters. Well, it does not inspire confidence. And then when the time comes that you want to sell that coin and you're going to say, look, I've got, this is an ounce of silver and it's got a picture of Donald Duck on it. And I'm not even going to charge you extra for Donald Duck. There's going to be people look at that and say, they're not so sure. And it will be a little less liquid. Something similar goes on with the grams. If you're thinking about buying gold by grams, and the unit of gold is coming in a gram size, is that what we're talking about right now, Melody?
Mm-hmm, yes.
How do you know? I know you can get these wafers and they have, who knows, 50 grams. I'm going to take a guess. 5 by 10. Mm. A grid of 5 by 10. And you can break these off, and some people do. You break off a little gram of gold. Who, if you take one little unit, little chunk of metal, 1 gram of gold, who's going to believe it's gold when time comes you want to sell it? Who is going to trust you? How are they going to know this isn't iron pyrite or God knows what it could be? This is part of the advantage of buying a gold coin. You've got, someone has minted the coin. It's got the picture of the statue of Winged Liberty or whatever it is on the St. Gaudens. I can't remember exactly, but it's a recognizable image and people, oh yeah, that's gold. Little gram unit. What is that?
It's a gimmick.
You may understand it's gold when you buy it, and you may overpay for it dramatically when you buy it. But what's going to happen when you try to sell it? And the answer is, it's going to be much more difficult to sell, much more difficult to trade.
Well,
and that's assuming it doesn't fall out of your pocket and wind up in the crevice in the couch.
But let's put it this way. To me, it's a gimmick. And if gold is trading at 1300, it's not even trading at 13, and they're being sold for 2300, that means gold has to go up another 1000.
Yeah, I know. See, that's, we talk about,
for you to break even.
You buy low and you sell high. You buy low and you sell high. Not with these grams. You're buying high. And you may never see the point when the price, in relation to what you pay, what you receive for those grams and what you paid for them, you may never see a time, at least not in the next.
Gold would have to go up to $1,000.
No, it would have to go up, yeah, not to $1,000. It would have to go up another $1,000.
Right, another $1,000 for them just to break even.
Yeah, I know. So, you know.
And let me make my point. I understand people, if they don't have a lot of money, I get that. They're on a budget. Hey, power is going up. Utilities are going up. Our needs are going up in cost. I understand that. And it's a way for someone to buy a little piece of gold. But you know what? If you save, if you go from $80 for a gram and you save twice that and you save $150, you can buy 1/10 of an ounce of gold. You can buy a 10,000
how much,
eagle.
Yeah, but you can buy, what about silver eagles?
And you
what
can buy silver eagles.
Gram? What is the price per gram for gold? Do you know?
What do you mean?
If I wanted to buy
31
1 gram of
it takes,
gold, what
it takes,
would it cost?
It takes 31 grams to equal a troy ounce.
All right, so 130, so 30. So you divide the 1,300 or thereabouts by 30, and you come up with something like, right. What is that? Does that translate into 45
yeah.
bucks an ounce
something
or a gram?
Like that. Yeah,
all right.
That's right.
All right, why get that gram when you could get yourself, you can almost get two silver eagles for the price of 1 gram of gold. And they are, you can see them. Say, oh, yeah, that's a silver eagle. I recognize. I know that's a silver eagle. I'll take one of those. You can get rid of it. Why do you need a gram of gold instead of two silver eagles? It's not your best choice. You know, and you can... So it's just an illustration. We live at times when you have to take responsibility. It requires intelligence. It requires education. It requires courage. You can't afford to play the fool. Look into these things. Understand them. And then avoid the people who will try to take advantage of you. We're going to take some commercial announcements, and we will be back in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And where are we going now, Melody?
And I am Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to talk about Japan.
Okay, let me get the sukiyaki, and I'll be right with you.
All righty, all right. Let me know when you're back, Al.
I'm back.
It's another sign of the times. They're going to their liberal Democratic Party. And their main ally in government, they're planning to submit a bill to allow the government to access bank accounts that have never been touched for 10 years or more. So they're looking for a way to help pay for their welfare and education. That's how they say it, but I think it has a lot more to do with the two or how many trillions of dollars that they've been putting in. Into their stimulus to trying to stimulate their economy, but I mean this is their public debt is running at a 214% of their GDP, and so they're looking to plan raid dormant private bank accounts to boost its bottom line. So hey, they see money somewhere, we're going to come out and get it. And
that's exactly right.
So heaven forbid if you had a savings account and you just let it sit there for 10 years. You know, they have access to it, or, you know, maybe a loved one died or something like that, and instead of trying to find the rightful owner of it, they're just going to take it. So it's just another sign of the times.
If you're living in Japan, you can also wonder, all right, if they're going to take the accounts that haven't been active for 10 years today, how long before they start taking accounts that haven't been active for 5 years? And then maybe six months. You know, it's just another one of those signs that, you know, you got to be cautious about these banks. And it's not only true in Japan. It's true in other parts of the world. Governments are increasingly stressed financially. China is ahead. China is not, in theory, the government is doing all right because it's bought thousands of tons of gold. In theory, they are not in debt, so they shouldn't be desperate to rob their own people. But other governments are, and they will rob their people if that's what's required to keep the government afloat. Here, speaking of Japan, here's one. Japan tells world to stand up to China or face consequences. Davos, Switzerland. In a landmark speech on Wednesday to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe issued what amounted to an appeal for international support in a potentially explosive dispute with his superpower neighbor over the islands in the East China Sea. Abe told the annual meeting of global business and political leaders that, quote, if peace and stability were shaken in Asia, the knock-on effect for the entire world would be enormous. He went on, he said, the world must stand up to an increasingly assertive China or risk a regional conflict with catastrophic or economic consequences. What's Japan doing? First, they're claiming to be too big to fail. All right? They're saying, look, you can't let China beat the stuffing out of us because if we go down, it's going to knock down the whole economy. They are claiming to be something like the J.P. Morgan of the world. Too big to fail. You got to support us. They're too big to fail. They're too big to lose a war with China. Japan is also admitting that it's too weak to resist China's power. That's what they're saying. They said, look, we can't stand up against these people by ourselves. We've got to have help. And Japan is also implicitly admitting that the United States, which is treaty-bound to protect and support Japan in the event of a conflict with China, has secretly informed Japan that we may not be able to provide the necessary support and protection. This possibility might explain why Japan is appealing to the world for support in resisting China, because they are apparently no longer relying on just the United States to protect them. If it's true, in words of speculation, but if it's true that the United States has secretly notified Japan that we won't stand with Japan against China, that might simply indicate that our new associations with China are more politically important to the United States than our old associations with Japan. It might indicate that we are just facing the... It might indicate that we are facing... Just looked at the instant message and it diverts me. The producer's trying to send a message and it breaks my line of concentration. But if the United States is not supporting Japan, it may indicate that we've simply said, look, China's too important. Japan is no longer as important as it once was. We're going to let it go. But it might also indicate that the United States government is too broke to get into another push and shove contest overseas. We can't afford it anymore. We marched into Afghanistan and Iraq and, you know, we're going to be big time and kick them around and give them a dose of shock and awe. We're not going to be able to pull that off with China. It may be that we don't have enough money, enough resources to support Japan. Now, if that were true, it's an interesting indicator. Because if we don't have the money to back up Japan and Asia, do we have the money to back up people who are unemployed in this country? And the answer at the moment appears to be no. You know, the extended unemployment insurance that expired in late December was supposed to be reinstituted early this month, January. As soon as Congress came back, it was first thing on the agenda. We're going to get that extended unemployment insurance for people who've been unemployed for over a year and so on. But it hasn't happened. And it not only hasn't happened, no one's even talking about it right now. It was in the news for the first 10 days or so, 2 weeks of January. But we're not even hearing about it right now. And it's another indication that the government is simply running out of money. And if that's true, this is speculation, this is conjecture, there isn't sufficient evidence there to support this idea. There are just leaves in the breeze that may or may not be telling us which way the wind's blowing. If the government can't afford to back Japan, if the government can't afford to provide, well, extended unemployment benefits for the people that are unemployed in this country, then how much longer is the government going to be able to back the manipulation of markets, Dow Jones, gold markets, commodity markets? If the government is running out of money, as important as it's been to our economy over the course of the last several decades, they're going broke. The welfare they've provided, the subsidies they've provided, are going to become diminished. They won't end entirely. I don't imagine that's going to happen, but they're going to be diminished. How is that going to work out? What's going to happen to the people that are counting on government for some sort of support? And I'm certainly not a liberal, you understand. I'm not here to advocate that, you know, we should be extending welfare indefinitely. But if the government is going to knock the tariff barriers down, they're going to send the basic jobs, they're going to send in industries and industrial jobs overseas, they're going to allow illegal aliens to come in and take the jobs at wages Americans don't want. Government has a responsibility for a lot of the unemployment in this country, maybe most of it. How is it that government has no responsibility to provide for people who have been they are now unemployed, thanks in large measure to governmental policies? Where does it all point? I don't know. It's just telling us that the government may be going broke. If it is, it's going to have more people that are critical of government. And there's a strong probability we'll see riots and demonstrations and more political and economic instability. And in the midst of all that, what are you going to do to protect your whatever wealth you've accumulated up until now? And one of the answers is you're going to buy some gold. You're going to buy some silver. It's what people do when times are difficult. You'll need guns and firearms. You need to get right with the good Lord. And there's other things you can do. But gold and silver are certainly on the menu. What do you think, Melody?
We're seeing, I think, these countries like Japan and China and Russia, I think everyone is positioning themselves. Because I think they do realize the time is near, where the collapse, or you know, we call it a collapse for lack of a better term, of world currencies, an adjustment somehow. I've seen articles of the past couple of days about Argentina with their currencies, Venezuela, they're having difficulties in doing things with their currencies, and so these are, everything is just building, and it's all coming to a head. And these countries are positioning, they're taking sides in ways that I believe a lot of backdoor handshaking is going on, and it's creepy.
Some of these countries, I suspect, are running up as much debt as they possibly can right now, simply because they understand there's going to be some sort of a currency reset, and the debt's going to be wiped out. And if you're sitting on the outside, you say, well, great, you know, the debt's going to be wiped out. Well, great. Who's holding that debt? One man's debt is another man's asset. You wipe out the debt, you wipe out the paper wealth that corresponds to that debt. If you wipe out $10 trillion worth of debt, you must necessarily wipe out $10 trillion in paper assets. Somebody's got a piece of paper with a name on it and a number and says, you know, somebody signed his name and promised to pay me $100,000. I'm a rich guy. I got $100,000. No, you don't. You got nothing but a promise to pay in a world where most of the promises can't be kept. So if this thing goes south, governments, I think, will try to maximize their debt. So when we have the reset and the debt is wiped out, the governments get away. They are entitled to rob the public, legally rob the public, rob the people. And when it's all done, just shake their heads and say, golly, wasn't that just awful? Wasn't our fault, though. The Republicans will blame the Democrats. The Democrats will blame the Republicans. But the people really responsible are the American people who haven't managed to be informed, haven't cared to be informed. And they've allowed a lot of tricks to be played on them. They've insisted on the right to remain ignorant and uninvolved. And as a result, you know, prices, there's a price to be paid. And it will be paid by those of us who don't take the time to understand what's happening and then find the courage, the intelligence, enough education, knowledge, where you can do what you have to do to protect yourself.
We're soon out of time, Al. I just wanted to make an announcement. Tomorrow we have a guest, Lori Roth of the Roth Report. She'll be joining us at the first break, and she'll be with us for the rest of the program. And she's been involved recently in some breaking stories, one involving a small church down there in Texas. They think it's actually tied to some human trafficking and also the Department of Homeland Security. So we'll be trying to get to both of those articles. So she'll be joining us tomorrow. And so I want to encourage the listeners to make sure they join us. And tomorrow, the first segment, you know, there's been a lot of discussions and reports and articles coming out about deflation. And this certainly has some people thinking that because of deflation, they don't need any gold and silver. And it's just the people are confused. They don't know who to believe. A lot of these folks have some very you know, they very strong arguments in their views, and it's something that I think needs to be explained a little bit, and maybe we can get that tomorrow.
We'll talk about it. We can talk about it tomorrow. And the fundamental idea is people think, some people think that the price of gold, if we go into a period of deflation, that is a hallmark of a depression. If people think, okay, we're going into a depression, we're going to see deflation. In a period of deflation, prices fall and the value of your currency rises. During the Great Depression, cash was king. But the thing about it is during the Great Depression, the cash was backed by gold and silver up until 1933 when they took the gold out of circulation, and it continued to be backed by silver on up until technically 64, but even into 68 they were still redeeming it. The point is that the cash that will be king during a Great Depression, in my opinion, will be gold and silver. It won't be paper. So in any case, we're out of time. We'll explore those ideas a little more tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Thank you for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.